Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Dr. Keith Presents, and this is the return of the Interspecies Wrestling Extravaganza. Now last year, of course, many of you may remember that myself and Dr. Keith, I think it was around August of last year, did a show hyping up the first Interspecies Wrestling show that was going to be taking place in the United States of America. Normally, of course, they run out of Canada, and with another one of their shows coming up on Saturday, April the 3rd, we decided to do that again. And basically, what we have on the show this week, as you can tell so far, I'm flying solo here. I basically just wanted to do an intro, kind of, to set the stage for the show, because each segment I recorded, I wasn't really sure if it was going to be the first segment of the show, so there's really no opening, so I figured I'd do something like this. So, here we are, and yeah, we've got lots of guests from ISW on, and all the segments have been recorded in the past week, kind of different days, so there's probably like various chronological differences you'll notice during the show, but none of that really matters. What matters is we've got great men, such as the leader of the league, and ISW World's Heavyweight Champion, Giant Tiger. We've got El Presidente of Interspecies Wrestling, Mr. Mike Roach. And he will be on the line with Super Babyface of ISW, the one, the only, making his return to the show. He was on the first time we did the ISW show, that being Twiggy. And then we round out the show with the greatest segment I have maybe ever recorded on so many freaking levels. This was ridiculous. I don't even know how to hype this up other than just say, listen, and don't let any children anywhere near this show, unless you really want to give them an education in the art of being a bad, bad man. We've got Chad and Brad, the Bad Boys. And if you haven't seen the Bad Boys before, they pull no punches, they tell it like it is, in lots of great, great ways. And yeah, that interview was just amazing. Good God, it was unbelievable. I still haven't recovered. It was the last one we did. I actually just taped it like about a half an hour ago, and I'm still feeling shocks. I think one of them described it best as it was like a tornado. So yeah, it was pretty much how it went, and it was amazing, and you gotta listen to it. So that's enough of me rambling. As you can tell, I suck when I'm on the line on my own. So I'm just gonna let this go to the next segment, and I believe we're going to have first up Twiggy and Mike Roach. So, with that, we will see you back here on the other side. And welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Keith Presents the ISW Extravaganza. First, I have on the line ISW President, El Presidente, Mike Roach, and also star, top babyface, babyface extraordinaire of the Interspecies Wrestling, Mr. One Twiggy. Twiggy, Mike, how are you doing, guys? And yeah, whoever wants to jump in first and start talking, how did that first Connecticut show go last year?
Should I go first?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right, awesome. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Not too bad.
Okay, well, like the last Connecticut show, I thought it went pretty friggin' well for, you know, our first time down there. The show itself was a hit. It's probably one of our top DVD sellers going right now. I'm pretty sure Twiggy had a good time because he won his match. Didn't you, Twiggy?
No, I had a pretty good time. I wore some cowboy boots. I wore some really tight white jeans. I had some American-themed bandanas. Yeah, it was a good time. We had some really greasy pizza after the show. That was fun. And then I played Crazy Eights in the lobby of a hotel. So anything that I can do to recreate that magic from last August, this coming April, will be equally magical, I think.
I know you're not in a bunkhouse match this time, but do you think maybe the cowboy boots could get another workout?
Well, I could definitely bring the cowboy boots to the after party, wherever that is. I'm all about looking like a rebel, even though I'm really not one whatsoever, but it's all about the image.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you mentioned the DVD there, Mike, and I got to say, the DVD cover to the first Connecticut show was it's definitely one of my favorite DVD covers in wrestling history. If you haven't seen it, go to Interspecies. Go to interspecieswrestling.com, check, or smartmarkvideo.com, and check out that that cover, because it's a thing of beauty. Who's actually responsible for making them, if you want to give a shout out?
I believe the guy responsible for making them, his name is Keith Betancourt. I might be wrong. See, the guy who we usually have do our DVD covers is a guy named Jesus, but he wasn't able to do that one due to other projects, so he passed it along to a friend of his. And this guy just went balls out and produced that cover. And fun little trivia fact, the guy playing Nintendo who looks like Kevin Smith is supposed to be me.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I thought it looked. I just recently got that DVD over the weekend, and I thought it was Kevin Smith as well.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
It's actually Matt Fortune and myself playing Pretendo or whatever it's called there.
So moving onwards, guys. As mentioned, Saturday, April 3rd, will be your return to the south of the border. It's the same. Is the same building you ran the first time in Connecticut?
No, it's actually a whole different part of Connecticut.
First
show was in East Hartford, and this one's in Danbury.
Okay. I don't really know my Connecticut geography. Yeah, you'll have to forgive me.
That's okay. But the first show was awesome. I mean, I loved the venue, because one of my dreams for Interspecies Wrestling was to eventually run in a barn, and I think that this was probably the closest we'll ever get. It was like a pavilion that looked like a hollowed-out horse stable. So
it did have a trough.
Yeah, it did have a trough. Yes, like a horse trough. In the bathroom, there wasn't actually a urinal. You had to pee in a horse trough.
Oh, big piss trough.
Yeah, piss trough.
Hey, that fits right in with the cowboy boots.
The venue for this upcoming show is actually like a popular little club in the Danbury area. It's called the Heirloom Arts Theater. And it's usually home to a lot of like indie bands and whatnot, and they're taking a stab at wrestling for the first time ever, and we're, you know, really grateful.
Okay, and what that show will see is a pretty stacked card. We've got a lot of the ISW regulars and a lot of people that anyone who has picked up ISW DVDs before will be familiar with, or even just listened to the first ISW show we did here in Dr. Keith's world. And guys like Muhammad and Giant Tiger will, of course, be on the show. But we've also got some people making their debuts, such as Eddie Kingston. How did that arrangement come about? And I assume you're very excited to see the King of Diamonds on your show.
Eddie Kingston is probably my favorite wrestler in the world right now. And to actually have him, you know, take part in this show is huge for me. We tried to get him last time around, but he had previous engagements. This time around was actually a breeze, you know. We just contacted him, and he was like, hell yeah, I'll be there. So that's it, you know, Eddie Kingston, Interspecies Wrestling. It's pretty big for us because, like I said, he's my favorite wrestler going at the time, and he's a favorite to many others out there. And someone who has been, like, somebody the fans wanted to see compete for us, so it's pretty cool. And, you know, he's going in there with Player Uno. It's a first-ever encounter, one-on-one, so...
Yeah, I don't recall them having too much interaction before in, like, Chikara or anything like that. So that will be fun to see. I think that could be – that is the makings of a very nice little match. Will that be going on in the main event, or is that being reserved for your champion who we'll get to later?
As of right now, I believe that will be the main event, or at least the second half of the double main event, with the first half being the champion, a friend of yours, Alan.
Yes.
First time ever.
Yes, so indeed.
Has anybody called you Alan the Irish Whipper since that day?
Oh, all the time. I'm. It just like if I went out to the St. Patrick's Day parade today, I would have been mobbed because that was it's got me quite over in my homeland. As I believe I'm seen as some kind of representation of my country now with the work I've done as part of the league.
Did you have any involvement in the dishonorable actions that Giant Tiger was at hand at for the four-year anniversary show when he dethroned Uno as the champion, Alan? Were you in on that?
I can't say I was. I just stick to Irish whipping and Irish whipping alone. That's what I get paid to do, and that's what I like to think I do well.
The first time he called you the Irish Whipper, I thought he actually said Irish Raper, by the way.
Well, that too. Oh, well, actually, we'll move on here. Twiggy, we got to talk about your match. You've got a fatal four-way. Preparation, perhaps, to take part in WWE's upcoming Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. So that could be an in for you there. You've got El Hijo del Bambú, Stinky the Homeless Guy, and Pinky Sanchez, who's had quite the eventful few months. What's your thoughts on that match? Who are you most worried about of your three opponents there? And just overall thoughts going into that.
Well, when Mike Roach over there told me that was the match I was being placed in for Connecticut, the first thing I thought is, wow, that is a ridiculous match. Look at all the characters in this match. You've got myself, I'm a big character. You've got Bambú, he's a panda. You've got a homeless man, he's homeless. And then you've got Pinky Sanchez, who's apparently a drug addict now. I don't know too much about Pinky Sanchez. I know that he uses his rear end as a weapon in his matches. Bambú is a big animal, you know, you can't take it away. He's a bear. Bears are dangerous. Stinky, you know, he'll do whatever it takes to win, because the people with nothing to lose are usually the most dangerous. Who am I worried about? I can't say I'm going in worried, because, you know, I faced a lot of tough customers in my day. Kevin Steen, the Green Phantom. There's a nice name drop for St. Patrick's Day. But, I mean, Pinky Sanchez, I'll go out on a limb. I'm worried about him because I don't know too much about him. What's in store for me? I don't know. Maybe an ass to the face. I'm willing to take that as long as I can, you know, prevail and gain victory. Mike Roach, if I win, do I get a title shot again or no?
I believe it puts you in line for sure.
Thank you.
Negotiations being done here on the show. I'd make you Twiggy. I'd make you probably the favorite to win that match. I think you've got the experience edge in interspecies wrestling over the other guys. I think you could come out on top, pair of Bon Jovi spurring you on and all that.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the compliments. Are you trying to court me into the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Are you the new recruiter?
I just stick to Irish whipping. Remember, I'm not trying to recruit anyone. I'll leave that to Sexy Eddie. I'm sure he has many, many ways to court you.
We'll leave that at that.
Yes, we will.
Are you implying that Sexy Eddie is a homosexual?
No, not at all. He's everything.
Everything. He is everything. I like that. Everything, Sexy Eddie.
That he is.
He recently claimed he's the father of my little brother.
That's genius!
that sounds about right. Eddie gets around. Let's go no further without talking about the man we've already referenced. My leader in the league, Sexy Eddie's, I guess, would you say leader or co-leader? They're kind of both up there at the top of the food chain in the league system. One giant tiger. He is, of course, the champion of interspecies wrestling. He won the belt it was a couple of months ago, wasn't it?
It happened in August.
August, okay.
That's
so
4 years of this.
Yeah. So he's the champ right now, and he'll be facing a man well-known to followers of the Chikara promotion, Steven the Turtle Weiner, who is... I don't know how to explain Steven the Turtle Weiner other than he's a very lovable character who wears a shell and does many great moves with his shell, and I would hope he's bringing his shell as... to face Giant Tiger, because he's going to need it, because I know Giant Tiger will be bringing all his bag of tricks, like that Razor Ramon move or the big one. Hello?
Mike Roach, you want to field this one? I figure you've got the most history with him, so I'll let you take this one.
I don't even know what was just asked.
I was just asking, like, Steven Turtle Weiner, like, what has led to him getting this title shot, I suppose,
Back in October of 2009, Steven the Turtle Weiner and Giant Tiger were both guests on a online radio show, And for some reason, Giant Tiger found it suitable to attack Steven Weiner and claim that he had sex with his sister. Weiner then, like...
Which may or may not be true. We don't know if it's simply a claim at this point.
Yeah, Weiner went crazy, and he started saying F-words and stuff, and, like, that's not like Steven. So Turtle definitely, like, I mean, GT definitely got under Turtle's skin, and Turtle never forgot it. And then, like, recently, when we announced this show, Turtle posted a video online challenging Giant Tiger to a title match, to which Giant Tiger, like, dismissed right away, claiming that Turtle was no challenge for him. But Turtle, persistent as he is, kept posting these promo videos on YouTube. They were like 8 minutes long, too. It's like, you don't need that long to challenge a man, but he would like run down the card and stuff, which is very cool. We appreciate that. You know, we love when people plug us. But Turtle, after the plugs, would go on to challenge Giant Tiger again. Giant Tiger, finally having enough of Turtle's persistence, accepted the challenge, and is now actually claiming he's going to put him out of his misery. He's referring to him as the big idiot. And
He also referred to him as the turd wiener.
It's true, yes.
Steven the turd wiener is what he called him, which I don't condone.
Which is really close to what Lacour called him last year on commentary. Without even noticing it, he was...
Roch, you still there?
I think we may have lost Mike Roch.
Okay. We'll try and get him back on. In the meantime, Tweet, I'm going to ask you your thoughts on the Giant Tiger, Steven Turtle Weiner situation. Where do you stand? Are you do you feel that GT is has just been a bit of a bully, so to speak? Not of course that I'm accusing my leader of being a bully, but would that be where you stand on the situation?
I felt it would be kind of cool to.
Oh, Roch, you're back.
Roch is back.
I was gone.
Roch, yeah,
you were gone for a while.
You disappeared. We were moving on without you there. But continue with what you were saying, sir.
I don't want to say it again.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm a massive rant putting over Turtle, and now I have to say it again?
No, it's okay. We'll just sum it up with that. It's a conspiracy to keep down Giant Tiger's opponent. I'm manipulating the airwaves here.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Steven Turtle Weiner came to us. He said that he was recently going to be going to be celebrating his fifth year in the business. He had never had a shot at a singles title or a chance at winning a singles title, and he wanted that. So he started posting all these video promos online challenging Giant Tiger. Eventually, Giant Tiger was like, screw this kid, I'm going to beat the crap out of him, and he accepted the challenge. And now the match is on April 3rd. Steven the Turtle Weiner against Giant Tiger.
Hell yeah.
King of the mind, if you will.
When you say it out loud, it's actually quite shocking that match is happening.
It's a main event on any card anywhere in the country, I think Gorilla Monsoon would say. But Twiggy, I was going to ask you there, like, where do you fall in this thing? Would you do you Steven the Turtle Weiner's back in this, which would kind of put you at odds with me, but we'll set that aside for this show.
Well, I definitely think Giant Tiger has taken advantage of the good-natured Steven the Turtle Weiner. I mean, he's just trying to have some fun, and I think Giant Tiger even recently mentioned that he's going after Turtle because he's an easy target. He's an easy target. He's made a very huge amount of very dishonorable comments towards Turtle. Going into who I think is going to win, as you were mentioning earlier, I think Giant Tiger, has a ton of tricks up his sleeve, but, you know, upsets happen in this world. And, you know, if someone said, you know, Twiggy, did you hear that Steven the Turtle Weiner won the ISW title? I wouldn't be that shocked. I'd be shocked, but I'd say, well, Giant Tiger won the title. That was quite shocking. Anything can happen in ISW.
That's true. Although I disagree with Giant Tiger winning the title being shocking. I think that was inevitable, and anyone who has any eye for talent should have seen that coming. But enough of that. So we've talked about the double main event, and there are plenty of other good matches on the show. We've got a friend of the show, Muhammad the Terrorist Cow, who is still due to come back and do a love advice segment with us. By the way, I'm sure we'll get that going sometime in the future. But he's going to be taking on America? Question mark.
That's right. He challenged any American infidel to meet him in the ring to take him on for his title, and his second ever defense of the other title in the United States. Our American ambassador, if you will, one John Maestro, looked far and wide for somebody who represented America, you know, who was hot dogs and apple pie and baseball. Couldn't find anybody until he was met by a man named Dasher Hatfield, who claimed that he was all these things. In fact, he claimed, and this might have been a mistake, that America is a pastime of his. And I don't see how that works. I think, you know, he's representing baseball. That's more of a pastime of America's. But anyway, he's stepped forth, and he's going to challenge Muhammad in his debut in interspecies wrestling for the other title.
Yeah, I think that's got some far-reaching implications. I know when I called Twiggy earlier before this show started, he was watching the news. I could hear it in the background, and I would think that this match between Muhammad the Terrorist Cow and Dasher Hatfield, even representing America, that could certainly make some worldwide news with any of the many things that could come out of that match, because I'm sure Muhammad has some sinister things planned for someone who's taken up the mantle of representing America.
This could literally start another war.
Yeah, I think the match itself is already the start of a war. I think it will be a war on come April the 3rd in Connecticut, and that's definitely a match I'm looking forward to. Muhammad is always entertaining. For anyone who hasn't seen him, go on YouTube and find like all the Muhammad videos, because they're incredible. They're so funny. I can't remember if I had seen them before or after we taped the first show with Muhammad that we did here, but those were great. And listen to that show too, because he is a greatly entertaining man for a terrorist. But anyway, I should ask Roger, has Muhammad been has he been making any more videos recently, or is there any soon to be coming online? Because I'm quite simply gagging for them.
I haven't seen Muhammad in a while, but the last I heard, there was a video posted online of him chastising his brother, who chose that rather than carrying on the family business of terrorism, he wanted to be a dancer. Muhammad, not too keen on this, of course, sent out his pet, Flip, the former McDonald's employee now turned vegan, to take on Mustafa, the terrorist. Actually, he doesn't want to be called a terrorist cow. He's Mustafa the Misunderstood Cow, because he wants to be a dancer on April 3rd.
I prefer the name Giant Tiger gave him, which was Chocolate Milk.
That is a good name.
I can get behind that one. I suppose with Dasher Hatfield, I'm going to keep getting his name wrong, haven't I? With Dasher Hatfield coming in, he's got a partner in Chikara by the name of Sugar Dunkerton. And have you any negotiations to bring him on board?
We've been contacted by him, and
a possible future American representative to face the evil Mustafa, or to face the evil Muhammad.
There has been one big acquisition that Mike Roach had told me not to mention on the air, but I think I need to, and that's that in Connecticut, making his ISW debut is going to be Hardcore Holly.
Oh, very, very nice. Hardcore Holly, who is he? Is he coming in to teach anyone the ways of business, perhaps by beating the fuck out of them with chops and kicks?
He's going to be wrestling our cameraman, Jerry Horvath.
Oh.
So watch out for that, fans.
Twiggy, I think Harker Holly might make a good tag team partner for you. I think that could be a good buddy combination. The sour and sulky Harker Holly and the happy and perky Twiggy, I think that would that could make a nice odd couple.
If I saw Hardcore Holly in the same backstage as me, I'd hide. I know
really?
This man would probably hate me instantly.
You wouldn't try and convert him to like Bon Jovi and Tassels?
No, I wouldn't. I would just try to convert myself to anywhere that isn't near him.
That sounds like a good plan. I think Harker Holly would I think a documentary of Harker Holly just like going around the backstage of Interspecies Wrestling could be quite something. Like Harker Holly.
I just
beats
can't
Giant
believe
Tiger.
That I've turned this conversation into a topic about Hardcore Holly.
Why not? Sometimes you just have to go with these things.
I agree.
But God knows.
Very
like,
much reminding me of the time. This reminded me of the time Twiggy saw a tugboat on the subway.
That's true. That is true. He was in Montreal.
The Shockmaster?
Yes. The Shockmaster Tugboat Typhoon, otherwise known as Fred Ottman. He was on the Metro in Montreal.
I would have marked out so much. He was that was one of the first wrestling action figures I ever got, was Typhoon.
I have that. I'm looking at it right now. It's on my shelf.
Brilliant. And the red singlet.
Oh, the red the singlet with the typhoon of water.
Yes. Mine's all the paint is kind of chipped off it, if I remember correctly.
The old Hasbro collection.
Yeah, indeed. I had Earthquake and Typhoon. I got Typhoon was, I think, the first one I got, and then I had to promptly go and get Earthquake, and then everyone else I just bought after them was just like, promptly use as squash fodder for the natural disasters. That was pretty much how, like, when my friends came over and wanted to play at my Hasbro wrestlers, it was like, the only thing we do here is we have people squashed by the natural disasters, so get with the program.
I think this might be the only time children will ever fight over who gets to be Typhoon.
Yep, absolutely. Although Earthquake did have the snazzy painted on tiger tattoo on his shoulder, which looked nothing like the real tattoo that he had in real life. I remember that pretty vividly.
Rest in peace, Earthquake.
Yes, indeed. And back to what we were saying about Hardcore Holly. I think a meeting of Hardcore Holly and the League would be really quite something. Like him and Eddie. I think
Mike Roach, you want to put this together?
I don't think so, Twiggy. I'm sorry.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think there's big money in there, though.
But Giant Tiger would use his supreme intelligence in order to somehow bring Hardcore Holly into the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and then we'd all be screwed.
He's a smart man. He holds a victory over you, Mike Roach.
Shut up, man.
I apologize.
Okay, so I suppose we should move away from the Harker Holly Typhoon Earthquake tattoo tangents and get back to this. I wish we didn't, but we really need to get back to this card. Very quickly, Roch, let's run down the last few matches. We got the aforementioned Mustafa taking on Flip. If Mustafa wins this, will he be in any way a step closer to his dream of becoming a dancer?
I think that no matter what, this kid's going to become a dancer. If you've seen the last few shows, he spent most of the time outside of the ring during Muhammad's title defenses just dancing his little ass off and pretty much distracting everybody in the crowd, like, and taking their attention away from the matches. I believe that's what pissed Muhammad off in the first place.
We've got the Osirian Portal, another debut in ISW. A very popular tag team from Chikara and other promotions around the indie scene, and recently Evolve, and they'll be taking on. The update I have at the moment shows them taking on any team in Interspecies Wrestling, but I believe they were announced to be against. Let me see here: the Walking Dead of Zombified and what's the other guy's name? I'm just looking at the picture here. I forget his name.
Dead yet.
Is he dead yet? That's the one. Yeah, so they'll be taking on the Osirian Portal, and that could be a very energetic, electric, action-packed tag match that I think a lot of people will enjoy.
I want to know how the reuniting of the zombies was brokered. Mike Roach, are you behind this?
Yeah, man. You see, zombies, of course, zombies originate in two places. They originate usually in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, if you're a George Romero fan, or they start out in Haiti. And with the recent bullshit that's happened to Haiti, I was able to trick these guys into getting back together for one night by making a small but generous donation to Haiti in their name. So they're going to reunite.
That's very hard. That's a very heartwarming story.
Yeah, that's business at its finest. Cutthroat business at its finest there, Mr. Roach.
I just made that up on the spot.
Oh, okay. That's less impressive. But yeah, that I think that should be, as I mentioned, an energetic match. Well, as energetic as a match with zombies can be. But that's pretty much the whole card, aside from one thing which really has my attention, and that is an open challenge from the Bad Boys, without question my favorite team in wrestling. Chad and Brad Bad, and they've sent a call out to anyone who'll face them. And is anyone looking like stepping up to the plate yet?
Yeah, we received an email from a team referring to themselves as the Baddest of the Boys, and when they typed that out, they replaced the S's with Z's.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're going to step forth on April 3rd to take on the Bad Boys. We're not aware of who they are just yet, but yeah, it should be exciting and probably very short.
Well, the Bad Boys don't get paid by the hour. They like to get in and get out and get back to drinking beer and riding Harleys. Banging fat girls.
Business with the biker sluts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, Mike, I know you got to run here, so is there any other plugs you want to throw out?
I want to ask you a question, actually.
Absolutely. Go for it.
How are you celebrating St. Patrick's Day? Do you go all out and, like, get drunk and, use it as an excuse to get drunk and eat corned beef and cabbage like all the fake Irish people here in North America?
Well, first of all, I don't actually drink, so I unfortunately ruined that stereotype. But as far as St. Patrick's Day goes, I used to always go to the parade when I was younger. And let me tell you this, if there's one thing I learned as a child, one lesson that I learned, it's that the St. Patrick's Day parade is a great big pile of shit. And being there...
Fair enough.
Being there many times in the pouring rain, having to watch this big pile of shit, scarred me for life. And I've taken to as many people over here, not really giving a fuck about St. Patrick's Day, other than the fact that it rules because we have a day off. And also, there's the if you like go into town or anything today, it's just a complete headache. You just don't want to be in there. So yeah, generally St. Patrick's Day, I like. Don't leave either my house or like my buddy's house, and just I just don't want to be around the general. Yesterday, we finished up work, and a few of us were going out afterwards. And St. Patrick's Day started early because there was a Cayley, I believe, in the middle of town. And for anyone who doesn't know what a Cayley is, it's an Irish word for a stupid fucking dance party shit thing with like Irish dancing. And it's just horrible. And I went out of my office, and there was this big setup in the middle of town with these annoying people on stage trying to get people to dance, and there was just big crowds all around. And I was like, oh god, it's already fucking started. I need to get away from this shit. It's really sucky. So I try not to celebrate St. Patrick's Day whatsoever.
You've heard it here first, folks. Local Irishmen hate St. Patrick's Day.
I honestly think, like, Americans, and I don't know about what St. Patrick's Day is like in Canada, but certainly from what I see in America, I think Americans think more of St. Patrick's Day than the Irish do, because I think people just over here just enjoy the fact that we get the day off, and those who like to indulge in the drinking arts definitely enjoy that aspect of it, but... as far as any actual like celebrating of the day, other than that, I don't think too many people are too keen on it. I know a lot of my friends were just like, I do not want to see or come across any people in the lunacy that isn't, because a lot of the bullshit you get revolves around the fact that a lot of 13 and 14 year olds who just started drinking make St. Patrick's Day a big day of drinking for themselves, and since they're 13 and 14, they like. Completely act retarded when they start drinking, and you get a lot of bullshit with just like ridiculous like gangs of kids just going around just being little idiots and creating a ruckus everywhere you turn, and I want no part of that. And Yeah, I know one of my friends that like lives across the road from like a sort of a park area, and he knows that like every St. Patrick's Day, the park just fills up with this loads and loads of like 13-year-olds just getting hammered and wasted for the first time, and it's they're like running across the road shouting shit and just like almost causing car accidents and stuff, and it's, oh god, you don't want any part of that.
I think you got progressively more angry and disgusted as the description went on.
Yeah, it's, trust me, if you had to deal with some of the shit that we have to deal with over here with St. Patrick's Day brings, you would agree.
I gotta say, with the mass consumption of like beer, cabbage, and corned beef,
I've never had any of those three things. I'm ruining all the stereotypes.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So what we're saying here is that American St. Patrick's Day smells a hell of a lot worse than Irish St. Patrick's Day.
I would think so.
There's like farts aplenty.
Yeah, definitely.
There's nothing but a parade in Montreal. That's all there is. There's a very strong Irish contingent in Montreal.
Is there really, or are you being sarcastic?
I'm being very serious.
Okay.
I just don't go to the parade, though.
Oh, the parades are shit. Like, why would you want to?
I don't understand the appeal. I don't mind stopping and looking for 5 minutes, but then I just want to leave.
Yeah, if it was a parade involving the stars of Interspecies Wrestling, that would be a different story, but unfortunately it's nothing near as cool as that.
I know Giant Tiger loves St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, does he? Okay.
For obvious reasons.
Don't tell him what I said, then. I don't want to get any heat in the league.
No, I won't. I know he's been talking about you. He's talking about having Mike Roach fly you in to accompany him to ringside.
Hey, I'm always willing. Always willing.
Mike Roach, you wanna take care of this right now, or what?
I would definitely love for nothing more than Alan the Irish whipper/raper to come to Interspecies Wrestling and rape or Irish whip people, but it's not in the budget right now. In fact, I actually have to leave right now, so I'm totally going to completely avoid answering this question any further. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Alan. I also hate teenagers, and yeah.
No, it's
I'm
it's just
here.
See you, Mike. See you. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, so Twiggy, we still got you here, and
yes,
we're gonna move the focus of this conversation for the last couple of minutes to away from ISW and the upcoming show to just talking about Twiggy and all that's going on.
And this is where everyone clicks the stop button now.
And all that's going on in the world, the wonderful world of Twiggy. Tell us, like, where have you been in the last couple of months? Where have you been wrestling, aside from Interspecies Wrestling? I assume the IWS, its sister/brother promotion, has seen a lot of Twiggy in recent months?
Yes. Still wrestling locally in Montreal for the International Wrestling Syndicate, as well as Ontario. And also, I guess you could say maybe a cousin of ISW, the C4 promotion, which is quickly becoming probably the fastest rising promotion in Ontario, which is a very big province.
Yeah, I keep hearing about C4, and I've been meaning to check it out because they're definitely a company that I've only ever heard good things about. So, are they Smart Mark Video?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain they sell the DVDs on Smart Mark Video. It's got a company has a lot of good raw Canadian talent, as well as a lot of independent stars from around North America. I know Claudio did a show. They just had Japanese star Kiyoshi over the weekend, as well as some other Japanese people whose names I don't remember.
Oh,
but a lot of North American talent as well as international talent.
Who have you been wrestling recently on their shows?
I recently teamed up with what seems to be my good friend / tag team partner / enemy over the years, Beef Wellington. We recently formed a cohesive unit known as the Wolfmen in the Capital City Championship Combat. So we're looking to rise the tag team ranks.
Yeah, Beef is someone definitely has a lot of history with the league. So I should probably leave my thoughts on him aside. But all's going well with Twiggy. I suppose I got to ask you, you've made some appearances down in south of the border in Chikara before. Any chance we might see you again for King of Trios? You put in a great performance last year against Player Uno for the Interspecies title. And any chance we might see you back in Chikara?
If there is a chance, I am not aware of it at the current moment. I'd like to go back. I mean, it's something I always have fun with, wrestling Uno last year. Wow, I can't even believe it was already a year ago. Always enjoyable to square off with Uno, good competitor. It's fun to wrestle in front of the American fans, especially the ones that seem to be as passionate about wrestling as the Chikara fans. So if there's any Chikara fans listening, I like you. You're good fans. As to whether I'll be going back, I don't know. That's out of my control. I'd like to go back, as I said. I'm always a fan, as I also said, about wrestling in the States. So, and I'm looking forward to doing that in the coming weeks with ISW. So if you're going to see Twiggy wrestle in the States one time, it may or may not be on April 3rd.
Well, I say to if anyone from Chikara is listening, absolutely get Twiggy back on the shows, because he's always been good whenever he's been on the Chikara shows, and I'm sure all those Chikara fans would like to see him back there. And Twiggy, I gotta ask you, you stay quite up on your mainstream wrestling. Have you been enjoying the build to the upcoming WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the more stronger WrestleMania cards over the past couple of years. I think it's been a fun ride. I'm looking forward to Undertaker and Shawn Michaels again. I'll make sure to watch that.
Yeah, I think everyone's really looking forward to that. Did you see Raw the other night?
I did see Raw. I had it on in the background. At some points, I wasn't paying a lot of attention. I was working on some stuff, but I did get the gist of Raw. I liked Bret Hart barefoot in the ring.
I was going to ask you what you thought of your fellow Canadian getting one over on Vince. I thought the whole cast thing, the cast being put up on the table, was pretty great.
I feel like they really dropped the ball with the entire angle. I thought it could have been a lot better. I mean, you've got the built-in story with the Montreal screw job. I think it could have been done a lot better. I mean, if you want my opinion, I'm thinking they did this car crash angle with probably at the start no real intention of having Bret Hart be behind it. To me, it just came off as something like, oh, we're kind of in a jam. Let's have Bret Hart say he did it.
Yeah.
That's just me. I could be wrong. It all looked very thrown together.
Yeah, there was definitely holes in it, but I think they were limited with a lot because there's so much stuff that Bret couldn't do that it was kind of hard to. They probably started the thing too early because they couldn't really fill that many weeks of TV, but at the same time they kind of need to start it early to get the ball rolling. But I'm definitely excited to see the match. But I just thought of something as we were talking about current wrestling there. And we mentioned Hardcore Holly being in Interspecies Wrestling would be great, but I just thought...
He'll be there on April 3rd. I guarantee it.
If you have to bring him yourself, right?
I might not bring him, but I am putting my Twiggy guarantee that Bob Hardcore Holly will be in Connecticut.
Well, I thought of someone who, as great as Hardcore Holly would be at ISW, there's one man who I'd like to see just even a tad bit more, and that's current day suave Dave Bautista with his new look, like with his polo shirts and his leather vests with no arms and no shirt underneath and his like leather studded wristbands. I think him going around the ISW roster and interacting with everyone would be pretty great. What would you say to Dave Bautista if you stumbled upon him?
I support it 100%. I even if you remove Bautista, I support leather furry vests featuring no sleeves and no shirts in ISW all the time. That should be our dress code.
Yeah, I know. I think it wasn't you that's in the match with Kevin Steen. There's the clip on YouTube of Steen giving someone trying to give someone a powerbomb, and before doing it, shouting, "I'm Bautista," and then it gets reversed, and the other guy tries to give him a powerbomb and goes, "No, I'm Bautista."
Yeah, that was the aforementioned Beef Wellington from a couple years ago.
Oh, it was Beef Wellington, yeah.
That was a show, actually, that Mike Roach helped put together. That was kind of a showcase of wrestling from all around Quebec. Mike Roach had a hand in that. Some may say that may have even been the precursor to ISW in his mastermind workings of the wrestling business.
Yeah, I just love that clip because, like, literally, like, when I wasn't playing with my Natural Disaster toys, and me and my buddies were like fake wrestling in the garden. It would be like you try and do a sharpshooter, and before doing it, you'd scream, "I'm the Hitman" or "I'm Bret Hart," and then you try and lock in your sharpshooter appallingly badly, because to a like a 6-year-old or 7-year-old mind, the sharpshooter was a complex hold that you couldn't quite get your head around. With the way the legs crossed and everything, it was very difficult to master at that age.
The memories of my own backyard wrestling are now rushing back. Everyone attempting the razor's edge.
Oh, yeah.
And the person taking it fearful for their life.
I remember recreating I may have told the story before. Actually, I don't think I have. Me and my friend watched an episode of Superstars once, I think. And Bret the Hitman Hart faced Dr. Tom Pritchard of the Heavenly Bodies in like a competitive squash match. And for some reason, we saw this match and at the time thought it was the greatest match ever. And we had to instantly go out and recreate the match. And then we got into like an almost legit fight, because we both wanted to be Bret, obviously, and no one wanted to be that asshole Dr. Tom Pritchard.
That was my primary character back in those days. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but everyone wanted to be Dr. Tom Pritchard in Montreal. He was the hottest thing since the poutine. And for those of you who don't know what poutine is, it's a delicious concoction of French fries, curd cheese, and gravy. It's delicious.
That sounds absolutely lovely.
It's delicious. I know America has recently got on it, and they're trying to make their own version, but it sounds terrible.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. You have to come to Montreal to eat an authentic, delicious concoction of cheese, gravy, and French fries.
It's
so simple, yet so difficult to perfect.
Yeah, I'm gonna Google image poutine. I got to see what this kind of combination would look like. But, yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
The backyard wrestling days were insanely fun. But you said that everyone wanted to be Dr. Tom. Was anyone volunteering to be Jimmy Del Rey around those times?
Jimmy Del Rey was definitely the weak link. Nobody wanted to be him.
Yeah, he was just
Tom Pritchard.
Jimmy Del Rey was just like with that mustache and the gyrating. I think he would have made a lot of kids kind of feel uncomfortable. I don't think anyone wanted any part of that.
I support the mustache these days. I'm definitely supporting that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the one he had at the time he had a nice kind of poofy mullet going on as well.
Very 70s porno stash looking. He had that look down perfectly.
He looked like to be blunt, he looked like a sex offender, I would
think.
Well,
he may or may not be one.
Yeah.
He seems perfect for the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
He'd fit right in.
I do have somewhat of a rapport with Giant Tiger, as I helped him change that tire once, and from that day on, he has never treated me as badly as he does everyone else. I don't want to say he likes me, but he definitely tolerates me.
Yeah, you're cool with the league. I definitely get on well with you, and GT tolerates you. And what's your relationship like with Eddie?
Sexy Eddie. It's weird when at any other show he's very composed and he's nice. Like any fan will tell you, I've met Sexy Eddie. He's the greatest guy in the world. But then at ISW, he starts hanging out with Giant Tiger, and he gets the pills going, and he gets the alcohol going, and he turns into a real wild man. He always has this wig that he puts on, and I don't know if the wig represents the years that passed where he used to take part in that activity, but he just turns into a real wild animal.
Does he look at all like Jimmy Del Rey when he sports the wig?
It is a mullet wig. It's not poofy and it's not fluffy, but I would hope that eventually he'll get a new wig to look more like Jimmy Del Rey.
I've Google imaged this poutine, and it's strange because half the images of it look really, really nice, and the other half look absolutely disgusting and make me almost want to vomit. But,
well, it depends where you get it, too.
Yeah.
You got to get it at a real authentic place, which, luckily, there's a lot in Montreal, so...
The image that comes up on the site, splitbrain.org, I have no idea what site that is, but, yeah, that's... It looks pretty great there. Like I'd eat that in an instant right now. Like the cheese and the gravy seem to go together quite nicely. And
that's what usually stays at the end after all the fries are done. You leave just a bit of cheese, and it's nice and melty. It's just wonderful. When you actually talk about it, it sounds disgusting. The more I think about it, but when you eat it, it's just an explosion of the senses in your mouth.
I wonder if you can even get poutine in Ireland. I need to search that out. It seems like the type of thing that would go over well. We have these things in local Irish fast food chain Abracababra. It's a kebab style restaurant, but they do like burgers and fries and all that kind of stuff as well. They have a very popular thing called the chip buddy. I don't know if you have that over there, but it's
the French fry sandwich.
Yeah, it's basically like a kebab in a roll. It's a kebab meat in a roll with all kinds of sauce and stuff and French fries thrown in. And it's a very popular late night fast food indulgence for many people over here.
I'm a big fan of just the straight up chip one. I like that with a bit of ketchup and a bit of margarine. I'm a big supporter of, or bacon is good too.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's. I used to eat crisp sandwiches a lot, just plain putting as you call them. What do you call them over North America?
Potato chips.
There you go. Potato chips, just in like between two slices of bread. That used to do me quite nicely when I was younger.
I also support this, but with some type of cold cut in the middle.
So a nice sliced meat, like sliced ham or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
But maybe bologna or salami is quite delicious with some chips in there, or as you would have it, crisps.
Absolutely, I think we'll bring an end to our culinary talk for this show. And Twee, let's get some plugs out. We plugged Interspecies Wrestling already, interspecieswrestling.com. Check it out. See the full card that we run down for the upcoming April 3rd show in Connecticut. And check out, I think it's fortunevideoediting.com to get to get all the ISW DVDs. They can also be got at smartmarkvideo.com. And I suppose if you search around, you'll find MySpaces and Facebooks and all that kind of jazz as well. So check out ISW. And where can we find out more info about Twee?
You could always check out my MySpace page that I don't think anybody visits anymore because MySpace isn't big. I'd say go to my Facebook, but I don't have a direct link for that. So for now, check out myspace.com/twigamania. And at this exact moment, the entire world is flooding my page.
Yeah, it's going to
crumble. Or not. You can also check out the International Wrestling Syndicate's website, which is iwswrestling.com, which may or may not be going into an overhaul right now. Not sure. And C4's website, which I don't know, but if you just search Capital City Championship Combat, I'm fairly certain you'll get the first result on the Google page. And check out Poutine. That's my one plug.
Absolutely. That's where I'm headed now, to go from fast food restaurant to fast food restaurant in Dublin, bearing all the drunken people at the end of their St. Patrick's Day in all these establishments. And I will go from fast food chain to fast food chain, suggesting I'll bring the picture of poutine, which I'm printing off as we speak. And I will suggest to all of them that they acquire this delicacy for their establishment, because I'm sure it would be a hot seller. But that's what I'm going to do. And like, thank you, Twee, and Mike Roch as well. And stay tuned, because depending on where we put this segment in the show, we may still have some forthcoming segments with some of the other stars of Interspecies Wrestling. So stay tuned. Thanks, Twee.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Dr. Keats Presents, and this is of course our ISW Interspecies Wrestling Extravaganza, the second one, after a very successful first run with the Interspecies guys a couple of months ago. And what would an Interspecies Extravaganza be without the world's heavyweight champion of ISW, one Mr. Giant Tiger GT? How you doing?
How you doing, man? What's up, Irish Whip?
Yeah, that's me, all right. I am a proud member of the league.
Big old Irish Whip over here. You getting ready for the show coming up? You getting ready to mess stuff up?
Yeah, I've got my phone ready. I'll be awaiting the call. I'll fly over there at an instant if you guys need my help to Irish whip somebody. If Stephen the Turd Whiner is causing a problem for you, I'll be there. I'm waiting.
He's gonna call in a whole bunch of problems. His whole life is a problem.
So why don't you tell everyone a little bit about how this came to be? You're gonna be, are you defending the title against Stephen the Turtle Whiner, as you call him, Stephen the Turd? And is the title gonna be on the line in this match?
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, I'm gonna be putting up the belt against Whiner, and basically it. I mean, he was doing a radio show one time. And he was trying to be funny, and I thought he was really stupid. I knew right away, I knew that there was something wrong with him. There's something off in his brain, and I don't like that. I don't like people that are like that.
Well, no, not at all.
No, I thought I should make fun of him, because that's what I was doing growing up in my life, you know, school, stuff like that. So I did it, and he took offense. He got mad, he put up this gay little video on the internet, and I thought, you know what, fuck it, if I'm going to wrestle somebody, might as well be a stupid idiot in Connecticut, you know what I mean?
Very good, yeah, April 3rd in Connecticut, the show we've been talking about, and yeah, it's a stacked lineup. I think I asked, we already recorded a segment, it may go before or after this, I don't know what the timeline would be like, with Mike Roach and Twiggy, and Roach was saying how it may be a double main event with your match and also the Player Uno match against Eddie Kingston, but I think that's not really doing you justice as champion. I think as the champion you need to be the one and only sole main event on the show.
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, they can have six or seven other matches on the card, but people are only going to be going. And they're going to be leaving, remembering one match, and that's going to be the Giant Tiger match. So it really doesn't matter what match I'm in. I can be the first match, the third match, the fifth match. All they're going to remember is my match. So I don't give a fuck if I'm in the main event or if Shitty Player Uno versus Kingston is the main event. Like, I don't give a shit because I know it's going to be the best.
Very good, very good. Now, Stephen the Turd, he's got a shell as part of his gear. It looks like it can do some damage. Have you thought about this? Have you thought of any counters to this? What are you going to be doing? Like, did you watch a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles growing up? And like, are you trying to copy some of the tactics that maybe the villains from that show used?
Well, you know what? Somebody asked me that question, and then I realized his shell is just a really shitty piece of clothing. So, no, I'm not scared about it at all.
Okay, so that's no sweat then.
No sweat, fuck him.
Very, very good, very good. But, so clearly you're not too worried about this match. I think you're just more interested in just putting a beating and teaching a lesson to this guy.
Exactly.
Very good, very good.
I hope you don't mind, I'm having a coffee right now.
Was that?
I said, I hope you don't mind making myself a coffee right now.
Oh, yeah. No worries. I hope it's
big on the coffee over here.
Very good. Very good. I'm not a big coffee drinker myself, but I know, GT, you like your coffee. And if the leader of the league likes his coffee, that makes me happy.
You know what else I like?
What else?
Pussy.
Don't we all?
I know
it's a favorite of the league with Eddie in there. I know he's a big fan of that.
Oh my god, Irish whip, my god, we can't get enough pussy in the league. So we get more pussy than what do you call those guys that examine pussies? Gynecologist?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, we get more pussies than gynecologists. Next question.
Okay. Now, when I was talking to Twiggy, he noted that there could be a big surprise appearance at the upcoming ISW show from one hardcore Bob Holly. Now, have you heard about this? And do you have any plans to confront Hardcore Holly if he did indeed show up at Interspecies Wrestling?
didn't he die? Didn't that guy die? He like swallowed his own puke.
I don't think so. Not that I know of, unless it just happened real recently.
No, there was a guy, Holly, died. He died of his, swallowed his own puke.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a... Maybe you're thinking Crash Holly? I don't know. He died.
Crash Holly.
Yeah, he was the one that wrestled in, like, he wrestled in, like, those, kids' parks and stuff where you go down the slide and all that thing, like, for the hardcore title. That was his whole gimmick. Hardcore Holly was more of, he liked to beat up people on reality TV shows. That was kind of his thing. And also, he liked to get dropped on his head by Brock Lesnar. He was good at that, too.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a good person.
Yeah.
He gives a fuck about him.
Yeah, he's not meant to be the nice guy in the world. I think the league should kind of teach him a lesson if he shows up in town for the ISW show. But that led to us also talking about another wrestler if they would ever make appearance in ISW. That was Dave Batista. I've become a big fan of his recently with his recent attitude change. I wonder if you've seen any of Dave Batista recently, and if you think, I think he'd be a great fit in the league. He'd certainly help with the whole gynecologist thing that we were talking about there. I think he'd be a good asset to have on our side with regards to that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't really watch wrestling. I haven't watched wrestling in a long time.
Good for you.
I don't watch, the stuff on TV. I don't watch tapes from, like, indie shows. I don't watch any of that shit. because I think it all sucks, all the indie shit. I think all that shit sucks. So, it's basically, yeah, I don't watch anything. So I don't know anybody you're talking about now. That's it. I don't watch any of that.
Very good. You're a busy man. You don't have time. You've got things to do, people to see. So it's understandable.
Well, it's also I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I don't really like wrestling. I do it because I amuse myself, and I don't really do anything. I just kind of hang around. I'll do a Razor Ramon move or something. And people go nuts and freak out and write about it for fucking goddamn 8 months on the fucking internet. And then you got wrestlers that are doing like backflips and shit that nobody cares about. So I find it funny.
Yeah, I think just you do a Razor Ramon move. That's all you need. It gets the job done. Like, why bother doing like 8 flips before your Razor Ramon move when you can just try it the one, or even just try it one big one. And that'll get the job done as well.
I tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to go into Connecticut. I'm going to do the same stuff I always do. I'm going to do a Razor Ramon move. I'm going to do a fucking body slam. And everybody's going to shit their pants. They're going to love it. And nobody's going to like the rest of the other fucking show.
Have you got any plans for entrance music for this upcoming show? I know you always have that.
Yeah. I've got a couple ideas. I can't reveal them, but they're gonna be all right. They'll be all right.
Very good, very good. I know. With your Razor Ramon move, you've been able to put away pretty much everyone on the ISW roster you face. But is there anyone like that you haven't really had the chance to beat up that you just think like? Your dream would be to get them in the ring, give them the Razor Ramon move, drop a big one, and just, like, teach them a lesson?
Probably Blackhorn.
Oh, yeah, the ring announcer, yeah. Big man.
The commissioner, Blackhorn, the commissioner. I think I would beat him up. I beat him up last show. I won the belt, and then I kicked him. He fell down to his knees like a little faggot, like the faggot that he is. And rubbed my ass in his face. So
like Rikishi.
I'd like to get a exactly.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get a piece of that faggot, little faggot. I'd like to get a piece of him. But I'm gonna say my ass rubbing for Turtle on in April. I'm gonna get my fucking ass rubbed in his face.
Yeah, Mike Roch was suggesting to me that we get Steven Turtle Weiner on the line to confront you on this interview, but I wasn't able to make it happen. But do you feel Mike Roch is just trying to stir the pot to make money
so.
For himself?
Yeah, that's it. You know, at the end of the day, more trouble between two guys wrestling, comes out to a rougher match. A rougher match comes out to a happier crowd, and a happier crowd comes out to a crowd that's going to spend money on T-shirts and drinks and shit like that, which means that he gets more money in his pocket. So he's just trying to make some money, I guess. I don't know. He's an idiot.
Yeah, that he most definitely is. Now, I got to ask you, John Tiger, we checked in last time you were on the show, checked in with you about like how the drug problems and all that were going, and got to ask again, a couple months on, how's everything? Is still addicted to anything? How's the drinking going? Are you off the wagon, or what's the latest with John Tiger?
Well, that's right. I went last week. I broke it, but I went 3 weeks without doing drugs or drinking, which is pretty long for me.
That's good.
But I did a lot of coke on Friday, and I did speed Thursday day. So no, I'm still doing the drugs. Smoked a joint last night when I got home. But that's basically, it's a joint, fuck. Weed isn't a goddamn drug. You know what I mean?
How would you feel if you're in WWE and you were getting fined for that? Like $2,000 a pop, I think.
I gotta put up my finger and tell them to suck my fucking balls, and then I do a bump right in front of them. I'd say, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Brian Kendrick might have done something like that. He wasn't too happy with that whole situation. But yeah, it's definitely.
What are they gonna do? What are they gonna do? They're gonna fine me for having fun in my personal life. Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Who are they to try and control you when you're outside
their ring? They're controlling your life. And the thing that I don't understand about that is really fucking stupid. Those guys are on the road a lot and they're wrestling a lot. You know what I mean? If you don't have drugs in your system, it's so much harder to operate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if you're on pain. If you don't have drugs in your system, or if you're not taking drugs, if you're not taking, you know, cocaine to wake up, or, you know, speed to get a little excited, or, you know, you smoke a joint before you go to bed to fall asleep. If you don't do that, your life has got to be fucking miserable. These guys are going to be so depressed. All they do is work out, eat, and wrestle. You know what I mean? So the fact that they're making them not do drugs, I think, is really stupid. If somebody were to do that to me, I'd say, you know, go fuck yourself. I wrestle once every 6 months, and I do a shitload of drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So fuck them. You know, fuck that shit. But with the drinking, when was the last time I drank? I drank Friday when I was doing the blow, and that's basically it. I mean, I had a drink yesterday also. Yeah, I had a drink yesterday.
Very good. Did you celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a few drinks?
That was the night I did all that blow.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's definitely a good way to celebrate it, I'd say. Did you see the parade or anything? Twiggy mentioned there was like a small parade in Montreal or something like that. Or
no, I didn't see it. I'm not in Montreal. I'm in Hollywood.
Of course.
No, I didn't see it. It's supposed to be a big parade. It's supposed to be a really big parade.
How's Hollywood been treating you? Did you bump into any stars recently?
Yeah, Danny DeVito is my neighbor.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, we hang out all the time.
I bet you do.
He's coming over for pasta night tonight. Well, that's basically it. I mean, getting a whole bunch of deals and shit.
Yeah, Danny DeVito, I think he definitely would, or at least his character in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia would definitely share a lot of activities with you, I think. I think you'd get along great with him.
He's a terrible person.
that's your kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly. My kind of guy.
Just like Eddie. Just like Eddie and,
like Eddie, yeah.
And Meatball and myself, we're all peas in a pod.
Yeah, exactly. We all know what we're doing.
Okay, so, GD, there's a topic that's been talked a lot about. This is very much nothing to do with wrestling. We're done with the wrestling shit. There's a topic that's been talked about a lot recently that I can't stand hearing about because I just think it's been talked to death and it's really just bullshit. That's the topic of Tiger Woods, the golfer. And really, if I'm going to hear about that from anyone, it's only one person's opinion I want on Tiger Woods, and that's fellow Tiger yourself, Giant Tiger. Well, what do you think of the whole Tiger Woods situation? Would you have any advice for him as he tries to get rid of all these people heckling him about his personal life? What would you say to Tiger Woods if he was having lunch with you and Danny DeVito one day in Hollywood?
You know what, Tiger Woods, when I heard about it, I wasn't really shocked, you know what I mean? Because the black people, they tend to do things like that. They tend to cheat on their wives and steal and, you know, kill women. So I'm not surprised. It's probably just in his blood to be like that. The black people are like that. I'm not racist, but I don't like black people. But no, I mean, I guess that's it. I mean, this guy has millions of dollars. He can fuck whoever he wants, you know what I mean? Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
The thing that's really stupid is that, goddamn, I'm tired, is that Tiger Woods, because he has a lot of money and he cheated on his wife, everybody thinks he's a terrible person. But I could get married for 20, cheat on my wife, and the only people that's going to be mad at me is her parents. You know what I mean? I'm not going to have millions of people on the fucking TV and internet saying how terrible I am because I don't have that much money, which is really fucking stupid. When you really look at it and you see how stupid this world is, you see that, you know, money is a lot. And, you know, the higher you climb, the harder you fall. And I think people like to help with that fall. You know what I mean? People are proud in making somebody fall from that high and making them look bad because it ends up making them more money and it makes them look like they're doing something in the reporting when really they're not doing anything. You know what I mean?
You're dead right. People just want to build people up and break them back down as quickly as possible. It's even worse over here if you see the British tabloids and stuff like that. It's just horrible to see.
That's what the world is, man. You build up your babies and then you make them fall. You got to kill them. Every story has to have a sad ending in this world. And I mean, these people, a lot of people know it, and they work with it, you know what I mean?
And I think it's definitely going to be a sad ending for Stephen the Third Wiener when you face him on April the 3rd. And
I think his whole life has been sad. When he woke, when he was born and his parents realized that they had a retarded kid, that's a pretty sad story. And I'm just going to make it even sadder. I'm just going to rub my ass in his face and make him look like an idiot.
And send him packing out of ISW and retain your title, of course. And do you see yourself having a Bruno Sammartino style reign with the belt, maybe hold it for about 10 years, something like that? Or do you think you'll just kind of get lazy and just let someone else take it off you in a few months? Like, how do you see it going?
Well, you know what? I hope I'm not alive in 10 years. But, you know what I mean? I hope I die in like 2 years. That'd be kind of nice.
But, choking your vomit, no. Maybe?
Yeah, my God, that'd be awesome. Well, a great way to die is overdose on pills, just laying in a hotel with a bunch of pills all over the floor. I think that'd be cool. You know what? That's the way you gotta live. You know what I mean? That's the GT. That's the league. That's the league's way of thinking. That the way to live is you live fast, you die hard. You know what I mean?
I gotta ask, since just give me an idea. I was talking about it with a friend of mine the other day. Which is your favorite Die Hard movie, GD?
Die Hard?
Yeah, since you mentioned it there, Live Fast or Die Hard. So yeah, I gotta ask. It's a question I ask anyone, and that is which Die Hard is their favorite?
Well, I've only seen one.
Oh, okay.
I saw the one where Bruce was walking around with a sign that said "I hate Negroes."
Yeah, I'm trying to think which one that was, but they're all equally good in my opinion. I can't get enough of Bruce Willis just kicking people's asses, like killing those terrorists and all that. Oh yeah, without question. He'd be another great member of the league. I think if we had Bruce Willis, Dave Bautista, me, you, Eddie, Meatball, force to be reckoned with if we aren't already.
Well, it'd be terrible because I'd be sucking so much dick if that was the case. I wouldn't get any work done. I'd just be giving everybody head.
That may pose a problem or two, but I'm sure we'd find a way around it. And to close out the show, I want to close out with the same thing me and Twiggy finished up the segment on, and that was talking about food. Kind of came out of nowhere. Twiggy was explaining to me about the delicacy you have in Canada called poutine. And I looked it up on Google and kind of saw some pictures of it and stuff. It looked very nice. So what are your thoughts on the poutine? Are you a fan?
Well, if you want to talk about food, we can talk about food. We're going to do this for a little bit. Poutine is this French thing. It's not French France. It's French Quebec, like in Canada.
Yep.
It's all it is, it's French fries, curd cheese, like chewy curd cheese, and gravy, like brown gravy, and that's all it is. It's called a poutine in Quebec, and you get that at every, like, you know how in the States you have, like, diners and stuff like that?
Yeah.
We have places called casse-croûtes where they sell poutines, and it's huge. Like, people are just fucking go nuts for this shit. You've got high-end restaurants doing it now. You've got high-end restaurants doing, like, lobster poutines and, like, truffle poutines. And you've even got, it's picking up in the States, too. You've got high-end restaurants in Texas doing poutines also. So,
Yeah, I was saying to Twiggy that, like, I gotta go around all the restaurants in Ireland and start pitching this as an idea to them, because it looks and sounds delicious.
It's very yummy. It's very yummy. Perfect hangover food.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want the perfect hangover food. You ever have a breakfast burrito?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah, see, that to me is, if I could eat that every day, I'd be the happiest man in the world.
That's your favorite food, is it?
It's close. Breakfast burritos, you know what I mean, with a lot of hot sauce inside of it. Shit, man, I'm in heaven.
I'm a big fan of, I think my two favorite foods would be steak sandwiches and garlic mushrooms.
Garlic mushrooms, yeah.
Yeah, the big fan. You get the kind of the mushroom in the batter with the garlic mayonnaise on the side. Just that's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good. So, GT, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, as usual. April 3rd is the date, and it's Connecticut. I forget the name of the location, but we talked about that in the other segments on the show. And you're going to kill a guy, so it's going to be a fun time for all.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good time. We're going to fucking destroy everybody.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much, Giant Tiger. It's been a pleasure, as always.
You take care of yourself, Irish Whippin.
Yeah, I will. Thank you. See ya. And welcome back, everybody, to another segment here on the Dr. Keith Presents Interspecies Wrestling Extravaganza Part 2. And our final segment here on the show this week will be featuring my favorite tag team in Interspecies Wrestling. Maybe my favorite tag team in the history of wrestling. That being...
Who's Dr. Keith?
Dr. Keith's some guy who used to be here, and he's not here anymore, but...
Dr. Keith. Okay. Okay, real doctor? Keith? Where's Keith? This is like Dr. Phil? Like that fruit Dr. Phil, that faggot? But hey, don't call him a faggot, because he maybe can prescribe us some drugs. I like pills. I like pills in the morning, because sometimes, let me tell you something, sometimes in this wrestling business, you got to do what you got to do to get around. You know, sometimes that, you know, you got to pop some pills in the morning just to get going, and then throughout the day, you got to pop some more pills, just keep rolling down the road, you know, and then at night, you got to pop some more pills just to get back to sleep, you know, it's nothing but a vicious cycle. You just hop on the Harley and get to the next town, because these promoters, they don't care.
In case anyone hasn't guessed, we've got the bad boys on the line, Chad and Brad, and they're obviously doing pretty well, pretty lively here. And guys, I suppose first things first, introduce yourselves. Which one of you is Chad, and which one's Brad?
Listen, let's be honest here. We don't know who the fuck is who. Nah, we have no idea.
Okay.
We're identical twins, and we like to beat people up. Our father, dad doesn't even know who's who.
You're both bad men. That's all that matters.
Exactly. That bad, you know, he injected his sperm into our whore mother. And when we came out, we looked so much alike. He's like, you know, fuck it. I'm not naming either of them. Here's two names, Chad and Brad. You figure it out. You find it out. And we're like, no, we like to fight. No, we don't fight each other.
We came out of our mother's vagina, never even knew our names.
That's just the way we got through life.
There's more
bones for the bad boys.
That sounds like a good way to go through life. I think it adds some mystery to things and liven things up, I'd say. But guys, for anyone not familiar with you, you've been kicking around interspecies wrestling for a few years now, and you recently came into the Chikara promotion, went down south. I assume no trouble at the border there, going down into the United States, and you made an impact in Chikara, and I hope to see you back there soon. But how about you tell everyone kind of when you got into wrestling, and just did you make your start with interspecies, or is there a past before then that is kind of covered over, a shrouded past perhaps?
Well, wait for you. What happened was, Chad or Brad, I got this one. We've been beating people up our whole lives. Hey, I'm tough. We've been beating people up our whole lives. So, quite frankly, it was a natural transition to go from beating people up in the bar to beating people up in the ring. And that's what happened.
Well, but that's...
You see, you know, sometimes when you go around beating people up for pretty much no reason like we like to do, it gets you in a little bit of trouble. You see, the police from whatever state, whatever province, whatever city you're in, they like to poke their nose in business that isn't ours. So we had the opportunity to get in what they call this professional wrestling. We seen a bunch of people in stretchy pants wearing these little tights, putting oil on their body, a bunch of faggots. Real bunch of faggots. You can eat buffet. All you can eat buffet. And no legal recourse. And that's bad.
That sounds real bad. That sounds like to me like a good plan.
Where's Dr. Keith? Where's Dr. Keith?
Dr. Keith is Dr. Keith somewhere in Chicago. Actually, Dr. Keith, I believe, is at WrestleMania weekend festivities at the moment. I think he was hanging out with Bob Saget last night.
That's pretty stupid. That's unfortunate. I really don't care, to be quite honest. I really was not listening to your story.
Well, that's okay. Guys, when you decided to get into the wrestling business, did you go to a training school or anything to kind of hone your skills?
That's one thing we wanted to touch on. We don't train. We don't train. We trained in the bars. We trained on the streets.
So you weren't
Let me tell you something, son. When you're a real fighter like Brad Chad Banner, you don't need to train to fight. You're born in it. You see, when we came out the womb from our whore mother, the first thing Dad Bad would do was beat our ass. You know what that taught us? That taught us to kick a little ass in return. You're born with it, son.
So it was inbred in you. You just knew instinctively how to fight. You didn't need to learn like the art of a good hip toss or anything like that. You were just all about...
Bullshit, hip toss and arm drag. What's all that shit? You try to be all fancy, be all fruity with this colorful shit? Nah, man.
That's a real faggot.
What did you guys think?
We're talking over each other.
What did you guys think when you were in the ring in Chicago with Helios and Lince Dorado, who were throwing out all that fancy, flippy nonsense?
Helios and Dorado. Let me tell you something about them. There's a lot of things in Chikara that we wanted to say that we couldn't say. But one of those guys is a nigger, and the other one's a spick. And we were glad we had the opportunity to kick those two faggots. Oh, I fucking hate them. I've had that on my chest for a long time. That's all right. You see, sometimes you gotta work within the confines. And you know what? We're savages, but we understand it. We understand that sometimes to be able to kick a little free ass, you gotta follow a couple of rules. And you know, we're not animals. We're not animals. We're civilized human beings, and we know. And we saw those two Helios and Lince Dorado. They hide behind these fruity little masks. It's bullshit. You see, they're hiding their faces because they're ashamed of what they are. They're ashamed, and I just wanted to rip that mask off and shove it right up their ass, but that wouldn't happen.
I think you guys need to find a way to get them up to ISW and teach them a lesson without the restrictions that you're under in Chikara.
Let me tell you, no idea how hard it is. It's been real hard to wrestle Chikara. That's why we got out of there. Yeah, we got on the Harleys, we left.
Yeah, yeah. Leave it to other tag teams that kind of like the likes of 2.0 or an Osirian Portal, teams like that. They can fit in there.
No, you did not just do that, son. You did not just tell me you didn't do that, son. Did he do that?
What? Do you have a problem with the Osirian Portal?
Nah, son. You mentioned those two little fucking queers, 2.0.
Oh, are we not on good terms with them?
You see, word got down to me. Word got down to me. See, we decided to leave Chikara. And word got down to me that they decided to put on a couple of pairs of denim and pretend that they were us.
No.
A real bunch of bullshit. You see, everywhere I turn, it's always Jake, it's Shane Matthews, 2.0. That's all we hear. That's all we hear. Let me get you something.
I heard that that faggot Jagged changed his name to Scott. The fuck is that all about? What is that?
I don't know.
Real faggot name that is. Real fruit has that name.
Scott Parker. Did you know that the gay parade this year is sponsored by the name Scott? Did you know that?
No, it doesn't surprise me. It's a pretty gay name.
Faggots. All right.
So, guys, yeah, so you've taken us, given us a bit of insight into what makes you tick so far. So, I got to ask now, well, let's talk about what's coming up. You've got this match in Interspecies Wrestling, their second show in the United States, in Connecticut. We've been plugging it all show long. Everyone knows the details at this point. And you've thrown out an open challenge to face any two men that you just want to beat up. Do you have a preference? Do you have a preference for who answers this challenge, or do you just not care?
We don't care
if the people are coming from the back. We don't care if they're coming from the crowd. We don't care. We just want to fight. We're taking our Harleys from Canada. We're going to try and cross the border. We've had trouble in the past. We're going to try and cross the border. And when we get to Connecticut, we just want to fight. We want to drink some beer, bang some whores, and we want a fight. That's all we want.
Really all comes down to it. Maybe listen to some Skinnerd afterwards, but really, I don't really care who it is.
You mentioned banging some whores. Now, I watched an ISW DVD a few months ago where you guys were acting as security, which is the best damn security I've ever seen, personally. You were taking quite an interest in a lot of the women that were finding their way into the building. And I gotta say, per wrestling show standards, there were some pretty good women there, and I hope you guys were able to have your way with them.
There was a lot of biker sluts that evening. When real biker sluts are full of fun.
Big time full of fun. Big time full of biker sluts. We love
our ass.
Fun. We hit them out when we feel like it.
Very good, very good. And I hope the same standard has been acquired to attend this upcoming show in Connecticut, because
Let me tell you something about the women.
Hey, shut up over there. Let me tell you something about the women in Connecticut in the United States of America. These biker sluts, they're all fat. They're all out of shape. Quite frankly, they're not up to the bad boy standards.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. After you've pounded back a couple beers, a couple shots of Jack, a couple shots of whiskey, you beat some people up, it don't matter. It don't matter how fat they are. It don't matter how ugly they are. You just want to bang a couple biker sluts, and that's what we're going to do.
That's right, you know, they just start looking better and better. And that's what you do. Sometimes you got to self-medicate. You know, you're just trying to get to the next town sometimes. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Man's got to do what he's got to do. Man's got to eat. And apparently so do the women.
You want to know what my favorite thing about wrestling is? Back in the WCW when they used to have that pay-per-view in the outside?
I was going to ask about that.
That was my fucking favorite moment in wrestling.
I was going to
ask. That was my favorite.
You had those racist bikers that hated Harlem Heat. That was good times.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah.
What a moment. You got bikes. You got people beating people up. That's when we fell in love. would beat people up at professional wrestling.
I remember
WCW.
I remember they had no time for the likes of Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko. I think they were pretty. Two guys. But I think they were too short for the biker standards. And they didn't like all the fruity scientific wrestling they were doing, and they wanted more punching in the face. I think they wanted more people like Scott Norton, to be honest.
Scott Norton. Man, I remember that faggot Kevin Eubanks from The Tonight Show. He's a real nigger. I couldn't stand seeing him up there. I couldn't stand him.
No, he did a diamond cutter, didn't he?
Yes, Jesse did a black man doing the diamond cutter.
Jesus Christ.
Makes no sense.
Were you guys fans of Diamond Dallas Page himself? Was he up your alley?
Not at all, man.
No?
Whatever his name is. Well, I remember and it looks like a pair of tentacles with really bleached hair.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's kind
of... I like the old Dallas Page when he used to smoke a cigar because Chad and Brad, we like to smoke a cigar from time to time. He also used to have a hot little biker slut with him.
Oh, he did?
Remember that?
Yes, Kimberly.
That's what he had class.
Yeah, right. Kimberly was probably high on the list of biker sluts that you'd kind of like to have your way with, I would have thought.
Oh, most definitely. He's up there for sperm dumpster of the year.
Scott Stott.
Chad, the more I think about it over here, Dr. Keith, the more it really gets to me that Kevin Eubanks, that I had to watch him. It's really bugging me. And quite frankly, I think we should head down to wherever Kevin Eubanks is today and show him a thing or two.
Burbank, California.
That's right. We're coming to Burbank, California, Kevin Eubanks. You better be ready.
Oh, if Kevin Eubanks is listening to this show right now, and I've heard from reliable sources that he does, I bet he's shaking in his boots. Because no diamond cutter will save him.
Oh, we're laying out these phones right now. Kevin Eubanks and the Bad Boys. It's on. It is on, Kevin Eubanks, you chocolate-faced little bastard. I'm coming for you.
Maybe it'll be Eubanks and Leno that will show up to answer your challenge on April 3rd.
We're not going to touch on Leno. Leno's all right with me. I just got a problem with Eubanks. You know what? I just want to slap the color right off of his face.
Maybe he'll bring one of his quote-unquote brothers with him, and that'll be the
fact. Bring another darkie, I don't care.
Oh, God.
I heard that Jay Leno has quite the extensive collection of motorcycles. Quite frankly, that's a man that I can respect.
Oh, okay.
That is a man. I heard he smells like engine oil pretty much about 24/7.
That's a quality trait to have as a person.
Hey, but let me get something straight here.
Sure.
You know, I don't want people to think that Brad and Chad here are a couple of racists or a couple of bigots. I just want you to know out there in Radio Land, we just fucking hate everybody equally. Let's get that straight. Faggots, queers, blacks, spicks, chinks, gooks, whatever. We hate them all. Women, I don't care. The more I think about it, I'm pretty sure I'm a racist.
That reminds me that another guest on the show this week was Giant Tiger. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Giant Tiger, who also, by the way, a big racist, and he's proud to admit it, he actually inducted me as a member in his league. I'm the official Irish whipper of the league. So I just want to make sure, guys, are you on good terms with the league, or is there some kind of conflict here going on between you guys being on the line with me?
We had a little bit of tussle one time with Giant Tiger. I remember I felt the big one left a real bad taste in my mouth, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, the big one is a dangerous maneuver if ever there was. You really don't want any part of that, or that the Razor Ramon move.
Well, let me tell you, really freaking boy, we did have our tussle with the league, but you have to know that the league is called the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen for a reason. You know, and I kind of got to say, that Giant Tiger, he has class. He does have class.
He does.
He's a man amongst men.
He's a straight shooter.
He is. What he wants, he takes. And that's okay with me.
Yeah, and he does a lot of drugs, too.
The man likes to drink, too. The man likes to do drugs. If he ever needed a lift, it's giant tiger was ever hitchhiking. Hey, what the fuck is that talking? I'm fucking talking over here. If giant tiger was ever hitchhiking on the side of the road, the bad boys, we pick him up.
That's good to know. I'm glad that it's all a nice peaceful relationship we got going on here. And if it was ever to erupt into a fight, it would be a manly fight that we'd all share a beer afterwards, and it would all be cool. Not like I'm sure with my other guest I had on this week, Twiggy, who I'm sure you don't think very much of with his tassels and his fancy music and all that stuff. I don't think you guys would like him.
Twiggy's a little bit of a turd, let me tell you. Let me tell you a little story about this Twiggy character. You see, he goes so far under the radar. When we go around from towns, people don't even know his name. People start calling him Twinky or Tweaky. And then they get up to the merchandise table and they see his t-shirt. They say, why does it say Twiggy? See, that's how insignificant this little bastard is. See, he's got no scruples. He's got no purpose to life. And let me tell you, if I ever got my hands on him, I'd turn him into a little turd and I'd shit him out.
Wow, that's Twiggy and Kevin Eubanks. They're shaking their boots because, yeah, you don't...
We're laying down the challenge right now. Next ISW show, we want a piece of Kevin Eubanks. We want a piece of Twiggy. It's a bad challenge. And it's laid down right here on the Dr. Keith Show.
Wow. Exclusive scoop here. This is great stuff, guys. I'm glad you're sharing this with us. I suppose what another thing I'd like to ask is, obviously you spend a lot of time on the road, and you hear these wrestlers, these old wrestlers will do their shoot interviews, and they'll talk about their road stories and all their various ribs and wacky things they get up to on the road over the years. And I'd say you guys spent more time on the road than anybody put together. So do you have any great road stories that you'd want to share with us? Any ribs, any great fights you've gotten into, memorable ones, anything at all?
I'm in the middle of a fight right now. I'm in the middle of a fight right now. I'm on the road. I'm fighting people. I'm fending them off. I can handle it. I'm just tailing behind. I'm watching them fight. And I'm just doing this conversation. It's okay. See, he doesn't need my help.
Wow. Live.
You want to tell them about that time? A time over there in Sturgis or Blue? Was it Columbus? I think it was Toledo. Toledo. See, we went on the road. I think we're in Wisconsin. It's my brother and I. We had a fight in
Toledo, Wisconsin.
Toledo, Wisconsin. And we get in a fight. We decide, hey, you know what? After this fight, we're going to a bar. We're going to get a little rowdy because the fight just wasn't enough. Sometimes, you know, we have a hunger for that fight, and sometimes there's just no competition. So we finish the fight in the ring, and we get directly out of the motorcycles, and we go down to the local bar. Now, we start throwing them back like we're known to do. And let's be honest, we get a little bit of drunk. Now, there's these guys in the bar acting a little tough, trying to impress these little ladies that are in the bar. And they start talking a little smack. So what we do, we take them out back, and we kick the living shit out of them.
As you do.
That's what we do. And we proceeded to go back into the bar and take their women on the bar. And the moral of the story is we got so drunk that night that we did not seem fit to drive our Harley. So we ended up on a bus. Now I don't even know where this bus was going. I just remember waking up, looking over at my brother, giving him a nudge, saying, man, where the fuck are we going? We're on a fucking bus. It looked like the John Madden bus. I didn't know what was going on.
And then where did the bus end up taking you?
It was a big... I remember waking up, we're on a bus, and I got to take a dump. I didn't know what to do. So I looked at Brad and Chad, and he said, here's a bag. And I said, by God, I'm going to take a dump in this bag. And that's what I did. I took a dump in a bag on a bus. That's bad. Plastic bag.
Well, sometimes a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Like, you're stuck in a forest or you're stuck on a bus.
Hey, we take no prisoners.
Yeah, you just got to... Nature calls and these things happen. You don't need no fruity toilet paper.
Nah, man, when you got to dump, you got to dump, and you just do it, man.
This is with this trying to find a bathroom bullshit. You're like, I'm not afraid to dump in the street.
Sorry, guys. Okay. So, well that definitely
is. You little shamed. You shamed in the street, son. You give me attitude.
Not at all.
You know, son? I detect a little bit of attitude in your voice. Where's Dr. Keith? Actually, we're changing that challenge. We want a piece of Kevin Eubanks. We want a piece of Twiggy. We want a piece of Dr. Keith. I'm sick of having them all on.
Dr. Keith is I don't know. He's probably like getting ready to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony or something like that. Would you guys?
Hey, let me ask you something, you little prick.
Sure.
Hey, you heard of that town, San Francisco, California?
Yeah. I have heard of it. Yeah.
There's a bunch of faggots in that place.
So
what's
I hear.
Gonna happen? Brad
what?
And Chad are gonna go down there. We're gonna wipe the place off the fucking face of the earth. Right. The lack of a better term, we're gonna tear San Francisco a new asshole. That's what's going down.
I like the barking you threw in there. That's a nice touch. Were you big fans of the Steiner brothers, fellow guys who enjoyed the motorcycles?
Why don't you shut the fuck up? We're just a big fan of dogs.
Fair enough. Do you have any dogs yourself?
I personally enjoy the Golden Retriever.
Okay.
I'm more of a Boston Terrier fan myself. I really love Boston Terriers. No, that's a cute dog, too. You know, that's one thing the bad boys have a sweet spot for. You do. You know what? Deep down, all we're really looking for is a little love. That's all the bad boys want.
Isn't that what it's all about, really, at the end of the day?
Just want a little love from a little biker slut.
Guys, I hate to jump around on topics, but someone begged me to ask this question of you, so
right.
I'll just throw it out there. What are your thoughts on your gay brother, Vin?
What a stupid fucking question.
Yeah.
What a stupid question. You want to know what I'm saying? That little pansy, he likes to run around saying that he's been bad all his life. Well, we showed him a thing or two, didn't we? You know, he may very well be our biological brother. It's very possible. Because you know what? Dad, very much in the style of Chad and Brad, like to go around and spread the bad seed. So it may have happened. Some whore may have got knocked up. And it's possible. But let me tell you, you hear one thing that's loud and clear. You have to earn the name Bad and Finn. You have not earned that name. Now let me tell you something, Dr. Keith. We need to touch on a little something because Brad and Chad are not on the best of terms right now with Bad. And let me tell you why. Because a couple of months ago, it came out that we, in fact, do have another brother. And it came out that this brother happens to be a flaming homosexual.
Yeah.
If you know a thing or two about Brad and Chad, we don't stand for that shit. We don't stand for faggots. We don't stand for the gays, lesbians. I don't care what you are. We don't stand for it. We're going to put an end to it. We're going to put an end to the gay. We are fighting the gay fight tonight.
You know, I heard a little something about this brother of ours, a little queer. He's doing this queer thing around the world. But first, worst thing of all, I hear he does the queer thing with the darkies.
Oh, no.
Darkies? Oh, yes.
Oh, God. It's probably with the likes of Kevin Eubanks as well.
Jesus Christ, what are you saying there, son? What are you saying there? I may have heard that this homosexual brother of ours is in fact a darkie. He may in fact be black.
His name
is Black Bad. Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. That's just very disappointing. What was Dad Bad thinking?
There was a period of time where I wanted to give Dad the benefit of a doubt. But if there's one thing about Brad and Chad, we know we would never have any sex with a black. And Dad's sex would definitely not happen with the black. If his son is black, then he crossed the line.
See, you guys are only about the white women. You wouldn't be into, like, Asians or Hispanics or anything like that?
We're into whatever, just not the blacks.
Okay, well, that's good.
I'm not so into the sticks either.
Not like a Jennifer Lopez fan or anything like that?
Get out of here.
Oh, okay.
That bitch is fat. That bitch is fat. I said it.
Okay, now guys, I mentioned Dr. Keith being at WrestleMania weekend, and that is, of course,
what the fuck do?
Keith,
we're gonna put up $5,000 of our own money for you to accept the challenge. Kevin Eubanks and Twiggy, $5,000.
That's a lot of money. Now he's at WrestleMania, and I gotta ask you guys, when you were little bads, did you used to grow up watching like WrestleMania 3 and the likes of that, or were you did you not care for watching other people wrestle? You just like to fight yourself?
You wanna know what disgusted me about WrestleMania 3? I'm gonna take the floor here. I remember sitting as a little bad, and yeah, we were watching WrestleMania 3, and then this real fat faggot came on the screen by the name of Adrian Adonis. Now, the thing about Adrian Adonis, Dad Bad told us a story that guy used to be a biker, just like us, and somehow he turned into a flat, flaming homosexual.
And then he died.
True story. I shit my pants right then and there.
Yeah. He'd probably still be alive fighting people if he had stayed as a cool biker guy.
That's right. The way to roll. He died. He died because he was gay.
Yeah. Well,
because that's what happens when you're gay. You get the AIDS and you die.
It's a powerful equation. It's hard to deny it. You grew up watching WrestleMania, and you were fans. And do you still watch wrestling? Like, would you be interested in WrestleMania? It's coming up this weekend. Would you have any thoughts?
Let me tell you something I miss right now.
What's
a little
that?
Something by the name of Big Booger Red. Biker
Undertaker was quite great. Better than the Dead Guy version.
You know it now. You go to me. Made a big mistake. Oh, I can't allow you to think you can walk away. Yeah. So turn around and face my wrath on the face. Is now. It's gonna be your judgment day. That's a bad song.
That is a great song. That was my favorite Undertaker team music as well.
It's a cheap shot. That's the way that you play the game.
Five-sided.
Things will never, ever be the same. Hey, listen up, you little prick. Are you a nice guy?
I'm a pretty nice guy. Why?
You think you're a nice guy? Let me tell you something. Nice guys, you know they always finish the asses. Always kicking assholes' ass.
Oh my God, bravo.
What do you think about that?
I don't think we can top that. So guys, I'm just going to thank you. And tell everyone that if they want to hear more from the Bad Boys and see more of the Bad Boys, get their asses on a motorbike and get to Connecticut. Watch them kick some ass live and in person. And if you can't do that, buy the DVDs and watch it at home about 100 times in a row, because it will make you more manly. And it'll make you
a little bit of advice.
Sure.
For people who do the queerest thing, let me tell you, don't make the world work. So change that shit. And if you're a darkie, get that Michael Jackson disease. And I just want to leave on one note. I just want to let the world know that Kevin Eubanks, we're coming after you, son. We're coming after you, Eubanks. So get ready. Get ready, Eubanks. Eubanks, you're in for a bad day.
Chad Brad, thank you very much. This was my pleasure, and I'll talk to you again some other time. Take care.
Get the fuck out of Megan.
slam. What's that?